Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. It's a beautiful day here. It's a little bit warm, but we are thankful to be able to have this time just to be able to sit out here and to meet together with the Lord. And the best part about our times together, even though we do it through technology, is the fact that God is in fact with us. He's with me as I film this afternoon. It's Monday afternoon, which is when I usually film these. And whenever it is that you're watching this, and wherever it is, whatever time of day it is, He's there with you. And our Lord desires to speak to us. He wants us to know Him. He wants to use this time to draw us close to Him. He wants to use His Word to reveal Himself, for us to grow in our relationship with Him. And so as we begin this time, as we come into His presence, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day, O Lord, that You have given unto us. Father, we're just so thankful for Your goodness and Your grace. Father, Your sufficiency. Father, Your trustworthiness, Your faithfulness unto us. And Father, we come here, Lord, wanting to hear from You, wanting to know You better. Lord, wanting to be able to see how great and wonderful You are. Lord, to be able to trust You more. Father, speak to us. Give us understanding. Let us see You, know You, and experience You, O God, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are before a God who's in fact wonderful, who is worthy of our praise and our adoration, and how our hearts ought to be filled with love for Him and praise for Him, and not to try to somehow ignore our problems or distract ourselves or even give ourselves an emotional boost, but to see Him as He is. Because when we begin to see God as He is, everything else falls into place. Everything else takes its right perspective. And there are so many passages in God's Word that help us with this. But one in particular, the one we look at today, has always spoken to me. It's Psalm 100. As we look at this psalm, you think about what it says. There's a very short psalm. You're probably familiar with it. But you think about the words of this psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. You know, as we look at this psalm, again, very short, but we see so many wonderful reasons that we have to praise our Lord. And when we think about those, we see the importance of them in our life. As we think about why to praise our Lord, we see the first reason that's given to us is because He is God. And you might think, well, that's obvious. But think about the implication. Think again of what we read in verse 1 through the very first part of verse 3. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. You think about the significance of that. He is God. Yes, we see evil, wicked, powerful people and groups and forces rising up like never before, and their agenda to subjugate everything and everyone under them has never been more clear. And many times we look at the news, we look around us, and the thought goes through our mind that there's absolutely nothing can stop these people. Look at their power, their influence. Look at all that they have going for them. But He is God. He is the one who rules. He is the one who reigns. He is the one who determines what will happen. He is the one who determines not only what will happen, but when it will happen, how it will happen, and why it will happen. There is nothing that is by accident. There's nothing without purpose. And there is nothing, we need to remember this, there's nothing that's outside His control. He is the one who will determine what will happen. Even if He allows the evil that we see around us to temporarily succeed now, it is only so it can be used to fulfill His ultimate plan and purpose. Even Satan, in his current rebellion, is ultimately used by God to fulfill His plan and to glorify His name. You know, even in these days, we can praise our Lord. He is God. He's in control. That ought to be the basis and really the motivation of our prayer. We seek the one who rules over all things, and how that ought to give us confidence, whether we're facing the issues of the world or the issues of our life. He is in fact God. But look what else we see. We see that number two, He is our Creator. Last part of verse 3, last half of it, or the middle of the verse, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. He has made us, yes, as a group, if you will, mankind, the human race, but also us individually, each of us, you individually. You think about what David was inspired to write in Psalm 139 as we look at verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not yet one of them. Each of us is a personal work of God. You are a personal work of God. He had and has a unique plan and purpose for your life. You are not an accident. Whether in the big picture in terms of how did life begin or in your own particular existence. And you stop and you think, how much of what we see around us is the result of the ignorance of, the neglect of, the rebellion against this wonderful truth. You look around at people. Look at the helplessness, the despair. Where does that come from? From not realizing that they are a personal work of Almighty God. You know, this is the real tragedy of the misteaching of evolution. No, ultimately, it's a desire to try to rob God of his right to rule. That's really the end goal of it. But the end result of it is always a sense of despondency. What purpose is there in life, in living, if you think that you're simply an accident and that's all that there is to it? This is also a root cause of the one of the modern issues that we face now, the concept of being transgender, because what's the thought there? Well, God made me wrong. I mean, that's really the only possible conclusion you can reach. Take a look around at this creation. Think about the tremendous plan and the precision of God's work. No less of that has been shown in the making of you. And in fact, when we look at God's work of creation in the book of Genesis, man was in fact His ultimate creation. All this was in fact created so that we could have a place. It was actually created for us to have a place for us to commune and live with God until we sinned against Him in the garden. But you think about what we're seeing here is God's unique work of creation of man and of us as individuals. He made you with a plan, a purpose, and precision. And the most important part of your life is knowing Him. You were created to know Him. And through salvation, you're recreated to be brought back into relationship with Him through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you might think, well, that sounds awfully deep, theological, theoretical. But it is foundational to life and living. Because it's only in God, only in our Creator, that we really find significance and purpose and value. It's only in knowing that this God is personally interested in us that we can have confidence and security before Him in prayer about every single thing in our life. God is, in fact, our Creator. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. He is our Creator. But look what else we see as we look at the Psalm. We see as well that He is our Shepherd. Look at the latter part of verse 3. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Certainly reflects His right to rule and reign over us, His leadership, His authority. but also as a hinting, or actually a stating, of his loving care for us. You think about another one of probably your favorite psalm, Psalm 23, where it states very clearly, the Lord is my shepherd. And you think of the loving care and concern and provision that the shepherd, that is expressed there, that the shepherd has for his sheep. That is but a picture of our Lord's love for us. He cares about our every need, our physical needs, our emotional needs, certainly our spiritual needs. And how we ought to rejoice because we have this great God who created us, has brought us back into a relationship so that we can know that Him as our wonderful shepherd, the one who loves us and in fact cares for us in all things. What a reason to praise Him. But notice what else. We also see that He is good. I know that's kind of a blanket statement, but I don't know a better way of saying it. Look again at verses 4 and 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. God is good from the innermost part of His being. You know, with our God, there's no hidden agenda. There's no manipulation. I know we talk about God using us, you know, that is having a plan and a purpose. But God never uses us the way that a mean, self-centered person does. I know we use that word use there two different ways. But God never simply uses us just to throw us away. Yes, there's a wonderful enabling that He gives us, an enablement. There's a wonderful plan and purpose. There's a wonderful way that He flows through us to accomplish eternal purposes. But He's not using us like you would use a disposable cup and throws us away. Far, far different. God will never turn on you. God will never betray you. He is, in fact, good. His ways toward us are ways of loving kindness. Two words, loving kindness, put together as one, to try to express just how good this God is. It's almost, and I thank Tozer for saying this about another part of God's Word, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit took the English language and wrung it out as far as it could and then took it even further to try to express His incredible love for us. Our weak little language cannot, as wonderful as it is and as expressive as it can be in so many ways, cannot begin to express the care, the concern that our God has for us, for how good He is. There's not enough words in the language. The Spirit had to make one up to try to express this thought. What a wonderful God we have. Faithful forever. His faithfulness to all generations. He is good. Everything about Him is loving kindness toward us. He is faithful. No wonder the psalmist said, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. What a God we have. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, You are a wonderful, incredible God. Father, we praise You. Father, You truly are God. You are the Creator, O Lord. And Father, You are the one who is good and faithful in all things. Father, we praise You. And Father, we love You. And Father, we trust You, for You are trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you have seen just how good our God is in a fresh new way. And I hope as you face the circumstances of your life today that you're able to trust this God. And I hope that not only can you trust Him, that you can also praise Him. When you see the fact that He is God, He is the Creator. He is, in fact, the one who is the shepherd of our souls. He is, in fact, good.